Cameron Douglas, the right-handed hitting DH, steps into the batter's box. Takes the first pitch for strike number one. It's an 0-1 count. Douglas, 1-for-3 on the game. He singled his last time up. Pitch comes and misses inside, but Douglas was trying to go around, but didn't get the bat off his shoulders, just turned the elbows. So now a 1-1 count. Runner on second, Guerrero has stolen a couple of bases, but not too many as the lead runner. 1-1 count coming home, gets a swing and a miss for strike number two. 1-2 count, and Douglas, right-handed hitter, the wind picking up towards left field once again, and he's got a ton of power in that bat. Still looking for home run number one, though. Only appeared in a few games as an offensive player, and stepping off the mound, Jackson Bond, he fakes the throw back to second, but keeps it in his glove. And Bond from Benedictine University, a senior from Schaumburg, Illinois, looking to get out of this inning without any more damage. 1-2, misses high. It's now a 2-2 count to the Rafters DH. And Bond, a 6'2", 175 right-hander. Bullpen arm for the Chinooks. Trying to hold back the Rafters offense. 2-2 count, gets a swing and a miss. That's strike number three. And, well, all three outs were strikeouts for Jackson Bond, but it was not a dominating inning. He allowed two runs on the one hit. There were no errors and two left on base. It's 6-0 Wisconsin Rapids, and into the eighth we go. This is WFHR 97.5 FM 1320.
Econ Electric Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving Central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric Inc. now.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Two more runs came across for the Rafters in the bottom of the seventh thanks to a two RBI single from Noah Ruiz. He's now got 32 on the season and remains in the Northwoods League lead. Prior to that, the Rafters scored two runs in the bottom of the fifth on a RBI sac fly from Mason Onyade, and along with that, a RBI double from J.J. Garcia. First pitch here from Tristan Krusenberry finds David Hogg for strike number one. 0-1 count, and Hogg has reached all three times at the plate so far, but hasn't produced much for the Chinooks as they have gone cold as a team. 1-1 count, Krusenberry looking to keep rolling strong, gets another swing and a miss to make it a 1-2 count, and Krusenberry came back in to start the fifth inning, and he is not allowed a run in his ensuing three innings. Entered the eighth at 43 pitches, 1-2 count, misses low for ball number two, 2-2 the count, so nearing that 50 pitch marker. And Brent Gallegos was warming up in the bullpen earlier, but 2-2 count, misses outside, makes it 3-2. Seems like Tristan Krusenberry might be given the keys to go through the eighth at the very least. We might still see Gallegos come out for the ninth, or, of course, if Krusenberry has some damage done and a breaking ball just finds the south side of the zone for ball number four and a leadoff base runner for the Chinooks as David Hogg is on to first with nobody out in the top of the eighth. 6-0, the Rafters have the lead. Runner on first base, and the pitch misses outside to Jacob Coes to bring it 1-0. Coes, the left-handed hitting left fielder, it's a lefty-righty matchup with Krusenberry on the mound. Logan Grubb warming up in the bullpen for the Chinooks. And runner on first got a pickoff attempt his way. David Hogg over there just wants to keep him on the base paths. This one is hit high in the air towards right field. It's staying up for a long time, though, and Chris Diaz will be able to find it out of the air for out number one. And since it was hit to the right side, it didn't let that runner, David Hogg, get off the bag much. And so he is staying at first base. Brings up Tyler Priest to the plate with a runner on first and one out in the top of the eighth. And this is the kind of start that Tristan Krusenberry has been waiting for. And he hasn't had a shutdown performance like this all season. He's had some good ones, but he's been waiting for this really spectacular appearance. And this is really going to feel good if he can finish out the eighth. He's got a 1-0 count as he missed that one high and tight to Tyler Priest. Pitch comes home, gets a big swing and a miss from Priest to bring it 1-1. Well, you can't tie it up with one swing, but Priest was trying to. Rafters up 6-0 in the top of the eighth inning, and Tyler Priest, the right-handed hitting right fielder, a pickoff attempt back to first once again. Keeps David Hogg on the base, and Hogg has been on plenty of times today. But he has not stolen a bag yet as a ball is fouled down the left field line and just past the Rafters bullpen. Now a 1-2 count to Priest, and Krusenberry over the 50-pitch marker. He's at 54 in the game. And Priest at the plate trying to avoid the K. It's a 1-2 count from Krusenberry. Comes home and gets it fouled back. So still 1-2 to the Chinooks right fielder and Krusenberry. And I really wasn't fully expecting him to come back out, but he is a guy that has stamina, a former starter. This one is hit towards left center field, and that drops down for a hit. And it gets in front of Gunnar Myro, who throws it back in. And a single for Tyler Priest puts runners on first and second with one out in the top of the eighth inning, and brings up Nate Gray to the plate with only one out. Rafters still up 6-0. And with runners on first and second, Nate Gray can do some damage. No mound visit is a little surprising to me with Krusenberry on the mound. Not necessarily that he'd be pulled from the game, but this one missing inside for ball number one. I am a little surprised that they don't go out there and talk to him. And Krusenberry is getting up there in the pitch count. He's nearing 60 now. And in the late part of the game, 6-0, this one is sent high in the air towards shallow right field. Diaz running up on it. He makes the catch on the run, and that's out number two in the eighth inning. And the out keeps the runners where they're at because Diaz got so close to the infield and was on the run for it. So on second, David Hogg. And on first, Tyler Priest. Two outs in the top of the eighth. Rafters up 6-0. And Jack Cleveno up at the plate. Right-handed hitter makes it a righty-righty matchup. Runners on first and second. First pitch from Krusenberry is right on the inside edge for strike number one. 0-1. And Cleveno up for the fourth time today. He is 1-for-3 in the game. 0-1 count on the way. It is a little high for ball number one. 1-1 the count, and Cleveneau is last time up, lined out to left field. Layton didn't have to move too much to make that catch. Previously, he grounded into a double play back in the fourth inning. 5-3 grounder. 1-1 count is outside for ball number two, makes it 2-1. Back in the second inning, Cleveneau had his one hit. He's 1-for-3 in the game, and that hit was just a single that he was stranded on second for. 2-1 count on the way. It is sent up the middle towards shortstop. Garcia's there, and he'll step on the bag himself the easy way for out number three. And Tristan Krusenberry, 4 shutout innings for him, and he has looked every bit as good of a reliever as you could ask for. 6-0 Rafters, and it's to the bottom of the eighth we go. Rafters now just 3 outs away from the win. We'll see what they do when we come back on WFHR Wisconsin Rafters.
You're cruising along Highway 54. You're jamming out to your favorite song. You slow down for a red light when out your passenger window, another car revs their engine wanting you to race. Now, at first you're like, no, I can't. But before you finish your thought, the light changes green, your foot slams the gas, your adrenaline is surging until your check engine light goes on and reality strikes. Have fun again in your vehicle. Work with the team at Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
And a new pitcher into the game. It's Logan Grubb who relieves Jackson Bond to start off the bottom of the ninth inning. Grubb comes on after Jackson Bond in one inning. He allowed 2 runs, both were earned on one hit with 3 walks and 3 strikeouts. Didn't hit a batter with a pitch, no balks, and no wild pitches for him. He faced a total of 7 batters on 34 pitches, and it brings us to Logan Grubb, who will face off Madden Akko for the first pitch. It's on the inside edge for strike number 1, and Akko, the first baseman for the Rafters, he leads off the 8th. Rafters up 6-0. It'll be Akko, Miro, and Costin due up as the pitch misses low for ball number 1, 1-1 the count. Akko, the 5-hole batter in the order for the Rafters. His last time up, he grounded into a double play in the 6th. 6-3 on that one. But prior to that, he singled in the 4th and walked in the 2nd. So he's 1-for-2 with a single, a walk, a run scored, and the double play. Quick mound visit between the home plate umpire, Caleb Groom, and Logan Grubb, and now seems like we're ready to go. And the 1-1 is hit high in the air, but fouled by Akko, as now it moves to a 1-2 count. Akko, the first baseman from Fordham University, a Los Angeles, California native. 1-2 count on the way. It's high and outside for ball number 2. 2-2 the count. And Akko looking to reach base for the third time today. Rafters already have 6 runs, so they're feeling good, but they could always take more as that one misses inside, and it hits Akko So he is on for the third time today with a hit by pitch to lead off the eighth inning. The Rafters have had their leadoff man reach base in their last four innings. Hit by pitch here, walk last inning, single in the sixth, and a walk in the fifth. They've had their leadoff man reach five times in total through the eight innings, and well, that's fared well for them. They've got those six runs, and now a runner on first. It brings up Gunnar Myro, and the right-handed hitting center fielder takes the first pitch for strike number one. Myro up for the fourth plate appearance today. 0-1 count with the runner on first. It's low for ball one. Now a 1-1 count, and runner on first, Madden Akko. He's attempted a couple of steals the last week, but he's been caught twice. And so still looking for a little bit better of base-taking numbers. That pitch low for ball number two. It's now a 2-1 count to Myro. And Myro entered today batting .273 with 8 RBIs. He's had a couple of big games for the Rafters. 2-1 count coming home. It's on the inside of the bat and fouled off of the foot of Gunnar Myro. And so a pitch that makes it a 2-2 count. It had gone back into the field of play, and Logan Grubb ran up on it and tossed it over to first. Ball wasn't called foul for a little while as it had bounced off Gunnar Myro's cleat. And the Rafters don't have anyone warming up in the bullpen right now, either already warm or they're going to stick with Krusenberry for the ninth. We'll see. The 2-2 count to Myro misses inside, and it's now 3-2. So full count with the runner on first and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. Pitch comes home, gets a swing and a miss for strike number three, and all four outs recorded in the last two innings have been on the strikeouts. So the Rafters, when they put them into play, have been very good. Well, that's what you'd think. But it's been strikeouts and walks, or the one hit by pitch. And that's the last time through the order for the Rafters, as this pitch hits the lower outside corner for strike number one. Pat Costin up at the plate, the left-handed hitting catcher for the Rafters. He steps up with a runner on first and one out in the bottom of the eighth, 6-0 Wisconsin Rapids. This pitch misses outside to make it 1-1. Costin drew a walk back in the seventh inning to lead off the inning. Prior to that, he grounded out 4-3 in the fourth, and of course he had that two-run home run in the second inning. That home run, a big one that put the Rafters on top, 1-1 count. Swing and a miss from Costin makes it 1-2. And throughout the season, the Rafters have had a few home runs. Earlier in the year, they had led the Northwoods League in them. Now, no longer up top. They've got 14 home runs on the season. Number 15 was hit by Pat Costin earlier today. Pitch coming, it's off the end of the bat towards third base, and it bounces off the glove of Senior into left field. So it gets on by, and Pat Costin over to first base. He hit that one down the third base line, and an E5 allows him to reach for the third time today. Madden Akko advances to second. So now first and second with one out in the bottom of the eighth for the right-handed hitting left fielder, Royce Clayton Jr. And still a 6-run Rafters lead. He looks back to second. Now brings this home. Grubb has that one fouled away towards the Kraft River. So now an 0-1 count. And Clayton 0-2 on the game. He struck out swinging back in the seventh. That was his last time up. Prior to that, he drew a walk in the fifth and lined out to short in the second. A 1-1 count coming home. This one is a fly ball towards right center field. but the center fielder trailing over to it, and DeShazo makes the catch. He'll throw it on in, but not until after you had seen the lead runner, Madden Akko, move over to third base. So it's a fly out for Royce Clayton Jr. and puts runners on the corners with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters have been making the most of opportunities with runners in scoring position. Madden Akko has reached third base three times today. You look at having runners on, and so far been doing a great job. That's been one of the big reasons why the Rafters haven't scored as many runs as they could have this season. Been a little bit of situational hitting, especially as of late. First pitch to J.J. Garcia, misses inside to make it 1-0. Garcia, the right-handed hitting shortstop, sends this one to left field, and that gets on through. An RBI single for J.J. Garcia. Rafters are feeling it here at home. RBI for J.J. Garcia sends Pat Costin over to second. And Madden Akko comes home to score. Back to the top of the order for the fifth time this game. Rafters up 7-0 in the bottom of the eighth. And Chris Diaz, the left-handed hitting right fielder, up with runners on first and second and two outs. First pitch to Diaz. It's upstairs for ball number one. And Diaz struck out three times today before he walked back in the seventh inning. That walk really snapped him, hopefully, out of that cold spell. But we'll see what he does here. 1-0 the count. Coming home, it's outside for ball two. 2-0 count to Diaz. On deck, Jack Guerrero. And if it were to get that far, Noah Ruiz would be after that. 2-0 count coming home, and it's fouled back to make it 2-1. And Chris Diaz, lots of summer collegiate baseball experience after he played in a ton of games for the Bethesda Big Train last summer. 2-1 count, it is high for ball number three, 3-1 count, and Diaz was teammates with Jack Guerrero last summer. Both of them played in Bethesda for the Big Train, and so they knew each other before the season started. 3-1 count, it's outside for ball number four. The Rafters have the bases loaded now. So Chris Diaz over to first base. J.J. Garcia goes over to second. And Pat Costin is now on third base. And this is feeling really good right now for the Rafters after what happened last night. They've been needing a little bit of a jolt. 7-0 and just one inning to go. However, the Rafters led 8-0 against Madison just a couple days ago before Madison stormed back for a 13-run sixth inning. And now Jack Guerrero up at the plate. Guerrero, the left-handed hitting third baseman, as the base is loaded with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Already a 7-0 lead. Pitch comes home to Guerrero. He fouls it off. And now it's an 0-1 count. And Guerrero came in as a substitute defensively for Mason Oñate back in the sixth inning. His first plate appearance was in the seventh that he drew a walk on. 0-1 count coming home. Breaking ball misses high and goes to the backstop. And coming home, Pat Costin steps on there. The ball gets away, but it's picked up in the backup from first base as Nate Gray comes over to grab it out of the grass. Keeps that runner from rounding third, and either way, it's still going to be a wild pitch that sends everyone one base ahead. It's 8-0 Rafters in the bottom of the eighth. Pat Costin came home to score. J.J. Garcia went to third, and Chris Diaz to second. This one's hit towards right center field, and that one gets down in front of the center fielder, and it gets on by him. So Guerrero's on to second, and he will stay there with a two RBI hit. Rafters up 10-0 in the bottom of the eighth. The offense is clicking. And we have been waiting for a performance like this for a long time. And the Rafters finally get it. A two RBI double from Jack Guerrero clears the bases. Chris Diaz comes home from third, and J.J. Garcia scores from third. Chris Diaz scores from second. First pitch to Noah Ruiz, misses low and outside for ball number one, and it's now a 1-0 count. Ruiz, the right-handed hitting second baseman. It's a righty-lefty matchup with Grubb on the mound. Brings the pitch home, and it misses low for ball number two. Four runs in the bottom of the eighth for the Rafters. Have them up double digits. And also, with the shutout going into the ninth, the Rafters have a couple of things going for them. 2-0 count upstairs for ball three, and Noah Ruiz looking to work on base for his third time today, although one of those was an error that he reached on. The Rafters, you go back to the last time that they won by double digits. They did do it earlier in the season, but it's been a while as that pitch is called for strike number one, brings it to a 3-1 count. The Rafters won by 10 against Green Bay on the road back on June 9th. It was a 15-5 walloping. 3-1 count comes home. That one misses high, and Noah Ruiz is now on to first. So Ruiz on first. On second, it's Jack Guerrero, and a quick visit between the catcher, Jack Cleveno, and Logan Grubb. And Grubb will remain out there. He needs just one out. The Rafters have had the last four batters reach safely. And Grubb just not having a game to remember. And the last time that the Rafters shut out an opponent was on July 25th of last year. It's been 11 months in 3 days. As the first pitch to Cameron Douglas misses low for ball number one. So they could have a couple of milestones here with a few more runs. Rafters are looking for an even bigger win. 1-0 count coming home to Douglas. It's low and inside for ball number two. 2-0 the count. Bottom of the eighth, it's 10-0. Rafters still are staying alive. Runners on first and second. And Cameron Douglas, the right-handed hitting DH, has a 2-0 count against the lefty Grubb. Pitch comes home, and it's off the end of the bat towards shallow right field, going back out the first baseman, but it'll be the second baseman who makes the catch as he comes home with it. Garcia has it in his glove, and now that ends the eighth inning. So the Rafters still have a big inning. They score the four runs in the inning thanks to the two hits. And while there was one error, the Rafters left two on base. It is 10-0, and the top of the ninth comes your way. Rafters needing three outs. We'll see if they can do it when we return here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Hey, Rafters fans. Don't let online troublemakers steal home. Stay in control with the new My Solaris app. It's a grand slam for parents, letting you monitor and block content, set screen time limits, and keep your family safe online, all from your phone or mobile device. Test your internet speed like a pro, set up guest networks, and prioritize devices to keep your family's MVPs working, streaming, or gaming without a hitch. With My Solaris, you're in command, managing your Wi-Fi like a champ. For more information, visit solaris.net/Wi-Fi. App features vary by internet plan and may require a complimentary equipment upgrade.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Three more outs to finish off a big win for the Rafters. We are in the top of the ninth inning. It's 10-0 Wisconsin Rapids. And Tristan Krusenberry back out to work trying to finish it off. And the first pitch misses inside. Esteban Garcia leading off the ninth. It'll be Garcia, DeShazo, and Senior due up in the inning for the Lakeshore Chinooks. That's the 7-8-9 batters. Krusenberry brings one home, and this one is sent into right field. That gets down for a hit. Leadoff single for Esteban Garcia, and he is on for the third time today. Garcia has been red hot against the Rafters. Hasn't really been much that they could do against him. Krusenberry coming back out for the fifth inning as a reliever. He has thrown 64 pitches in the game. Now a runner on first and nobody out. This pitch is grounded towards third base. Picked up by Guerrero. Hook flipped to second. Back to first and not in time. Just barely. So a 5-4, and that's a fielder's choice. As Jack Guerrero nearly made that play pretty special. Garcia is out at second. DeShazo is on to first. There is one out in the top of the ninth. Runner on first. Rafters up 10-0. Looking for the first shutout of the season, and this pitch misses inside, and it hits Senior in the side for a hit by pitch. Now that means two runners on. And that pitch just slipped out of the hand of Tristan Krusenberry. Brent Gallegos was warming up earlier. He's back on the mound, just kind of throwing soft toss over there in the event that they need to move to the bullpen. Once more, Krusenberry back out. This pitch misses high for ball number one. It's a 1-0 count. Krusenberry's pitch count up to 67. He has runners on first and second. Double play could end the game. 1-0 count is on the outside corner. Called strike one. 1-1 the count. On second base, Owen DeShazo on first. Colin Senior. 10-0 Rafters in the top of the ninth. The 1-1 count coming home. This one's hit to the right side of the infield. Odd hop, and Ruiz can't barehand it as he slid down before the ball had hit the edge of the infield grass. So bases still loaded as Ruiz was able to at least knock it down with his hand, but not able to grab it. So a play there that ends up with the bases loaded off of the play from Beckett Zavoric. And Collins Sr. now on second base, and on third, Owen DeShazo. This one is grounded foul down the first base line, and Krusenberry still good to go out here as Hogg now has an 0-1 count. David Hogg, the right-handed batter at the plate. It's a righty-righty matchup. And that pitch misses away, makes it a 1-1 count. Hogg has reached all four times up today. Pair of singles, pair of walks. 1-1 count is low and away for ball number two and makes it 2-1. Rafters up 10-0, looking for their first shutout of the season. Krusenberry trying to finish it off, that the Rafters only use two pitchers. Drusenberry looks over to third, now brings it home on the 2-1 count. It misses inside, now 3-1. And Drusenberry up over 70 pitches. He's at 73. Runner on first, Beckett Zvorek on second, Colin Sr., and on third, Owen DeShazo. This one is lined foul on the ground down the third base line. The count is full. Drusenberry, in his 4 1/3 innings of work, does not have a strikeout in the game. He's been able to induce a lot of ground balls and flyouts. And a ground ball here would be huge if it could work for a double play. And time called as Hiroto Kobayashi had to step on out and grab a ball that was fouled down that left field line. And during this time, Mike Spears decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to go up there and I'm going to talk with Tristan. It'll be Mike Spears and Tristan Drusenberry on the mound talking things over. Just a little bit about strategy. Spears making sure that Tristan's all good to go. And Drusenberry through 4 1/3 innings. His next pitch will be his 75th. And the Rafters up 10-0, largely in part because of Drusenberry's great afternoon. He has continued the shutout from Jeremy Jones. Jones went 4 innings of shutout ball to start the game, allowed just 3 hits and 3 walks on 51 pitches before handing it off to Drusenberry. 3-2 count coming home, and it is in. No, it's high for ball number 4, and the first run of the game comes around for the Chinooks. And David Hogg on base for the 5th time today. Perfect from the plate. And his first RBI is the first run of the game. As Hogg goes to first, Zvorek to second, over to third, Senior. Ground ball over to second, Ruiz back to short. And that does it. The Rafters, a big win at home. 4-6-3, double play. And the final score, 10-1, Rafters. 4 double plays in the game for Wisconsin Rapids. And, of course, that's how they had to end it. David Hogg was out at second there. And, well, the Rafters, a big win at home. 10-1, they get back on the right track. They've won 2 of their last 3 now. And hoping to keep some of that momentum rolling along as they hit the road for tomorrow. But before we talk about that, we'll recap the game and go over how it all happened. Final score 10-1. Post-game show comes up next. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, 2 different times, 1 fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, what a good news night for Rafters fans as, well, that was a quick one, but a good one. The Rafters winning 10-1 at home in front of the home faithful before a long 6-game road trip, and that road trip is going to feel good after this win. The Rafters go 10-1. Let's take a look back at how it happened. And after a shutout first inning for both teams, Jeremy Jones on the mound for the Rafters, Logan Schulfer, a former Rafter, on the mound for the Chinooks. In the bottom of the second, the Rafters took a 2-0 lead thanks to a two-run shot by Pat Costin. Big game for him. He had that two-run shot. He scored 3 runs in the game as well with his 2 RBIs. So Costin puts the Rafters up 2-0, and that home run, a big one for the Rafters. They'd been kind of needing a jolt like that, and that go-ahead shot was the 5th go-ahead home run of the season for the Rafters. Well, past that point, Jeremy Jones continued to dial it in. Logan Schulfer was pulled from the game to start the 4th inning and handed it off to Aaron Robinson. Robinson, not a bad game from him. And he went into the 4th and the 5th innings. 5th inning comes around. Jeremy Jones is taken out of the game after 51 pitches. Hands it off to Tristan Krusenberry. Krusenberry in the 5th inning came in and shut it down as well. Bottom of the 5th comes around, and the Rafters once again add 2 more runs, this time on Aaron Robinson. The two runs on the 1 hit. They had a walk, an RBI double from J.J. Garcia, and then an RBI sac fly from Mason Onyade to make it 4-0. 6th inning, shutout for both teams as Tristan Krusenberry still out there, and Aaron Robinson finally gets pulled in the 7th after another shutout frame for the Rafters. It was a shutout all the way up until the 9th when the Chinooks scored their one and only run. But bottom of the 7th comes around, and the Rafters able to add 2 runs on a new pitcher, Jackson Bond, who threw 34 pitches, allowed 2 runs on the 1 hit, had 3 walks in the inning despite his 3 strikeouts. In the 8th inning, Rafters still had Tristan Krusenberry out on the mound for another shutout frame, and in the bottom of the 8th, the Rafters tacked on 4 runs on reliever Logan Grubb, and Grubb did not have a night to remember. The Rafters scored the runs on a wild pitch, an RBI single from J.J. Garcia, a two RBI double from Jack Guerrero, and made it a 10-0 lead. Top of the 9th comes around, and Tristan Krusenberry back out there. His pitch count was getting high, but Dickey said, you know what? Let's just have him back out there to finish it. Don't have to waste another pitcher. And, well, Krusenberry finished the job. He allowed just the 1 run on that inning thanks to the bases-loaded walk of David Hogg, but able to induce a double play to end it, and the final score, 10-1. Looking back at the box score, there were a bunch of good things to look at. J.J. Garcia, 2-for-4 from the plate with a double and 2 RBIs. He was great. Pat Costin, of course, had his home run in a 1-for-3 game with a walk and 3 runs scored. Outside of that, Madden Acco reached base 3 times, a walk, a hit by pitch, and a hit. He went 1-for-2 from the plate. And along with that, a 2-time on-base game for Jack Guerrero, despite coming in as a late substitute for Mason Onyade. He went 1-for-1 with a double, an RBI, and a walk. And Chris Diaz also scored 2 runs late in the game. Taking a look at the pitching, Jeremy Jones, 4 shutout innings. Tristan Krusenberry, 5 1-run innings. They combined for just 2 strikeouts, but hey, if you're getting outs, you don't need to get strikeouts. That is going to do it for talking about this game. Taking a look ahead towards next game for the Rafters, they are going to be hitting the road for a 6-game road trip before they return to Wisconsin Rapids. They've got 2 games at Rockford, 2 games at Royal Oak, and then 2 games at Traverse City before they have their next home game. So it's going to be a while. And the Rafters, next time up against Rockford, they are going to be turning their attention to Seth Spencer on the mound against TBD for the Rockford Rivets. And it'll be an interesting series to get to watch, the Rafters heading over to Rockford. They faced them earlier in the season here at home, and on this 6-game road trip, it's going to be an interesting thing to see how the Rafters are going to play it and if they can keep the momentum rolling along. Along with that, their next home game will be June 29th against the Madison Mallards here next Sunday at 3:05 p.m. So long time away before we return, but hope to see you at the ballpark then. That's going to do it for our broadcast today as the Rafters take a 10-1 victory. Good news on a Sunday afternoon, and, well, that's going to do it from our broadcast. A big shout-out to everyone who helped set this all up. It was a great day here at work, and really, everyone working efficiently, even through the heat out here. Big props to all of the staff and, of course, the players themselves. And a big shout-out to Pat Costin, who was our pregame guest of the show. And, well, we talked about that home run that he was eventually going to get as well. And so a big shout-out to him and, of course, to WFHR for hosting us as always. But from myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
Let's get back to the... Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFH.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Director's Playhouse. Seth and James here with you. As we're wrapping up the show, whenever we have this little bit of free time, we like to kind of focus on topics that are just fun and interesting that have to do with entertainment.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think I've come across one of our better ones, man.
Okay.
What's something that happens often in movies that is 100% unrealistic?
What? Unrealistic things happen in movies, James? What are you telling me?
These are not documentaries? This is the first I'm learning of it, too, Seth. I am as shocked as you, and I can only imagine our listeners are.
Yeah, what?
But I think one of the go-tos is somebody calling, and the phone rings once or twice, and then they pick up.
Yeah, always. You
know, always.
They always. Well, there's one exception. So, and if plot-wise... If they can't find them, then they will not pick up, you know, ring. Where are they? We got to go find them.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a good example. And here are some others, like somebody falls and catches the edge of something hanging on by just their fingers.
I mean, no.
Never.
Seriously.
I have fallen a lot, and I will tell you, even with my gigantic literal condor yes. wingspan and gigantic hands, no, it doesn't happen.
No, how it's so, I mean, I get it, you know, and part of this is, you know, you got to suspend your disbelief and all that. That's what makes them fun, right?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
you don't have to buy every single thing.
Nobody ever
do.
Reloads in an action movie.
No, nobody.
There's got an endless, you know,
supply of bullets. Yeah. They're always there. But the idea of someone like, falling any distance and like grabbing onto the side of the cliff with their fingers. I mean, even in desperation, physics.
And unless you are born with grappling hooks for hands.
Or Spider-Man.
Or Spider-Man. One or the other. No, it doesn't happen.
No.
I'm pretty unrealistic on that one. Spotless air ducts. Or air ducts that could support the weight of a 200-pound person.
Oh, seriously.
Along with not only John McCain, but his gun and like other things and stuff. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Those things are not built well. Don't try that at home.
There's no ductwork on the planet that's that strong. Seriously. Oh, my God. I know. I get it. You know, it's the surprise. This is the way we can sneak around into buildings and no one will see us, right? But, yeah.
Doesn't really work.
It doesn't.
Now, this one, there are. This is a fun list, and usually they don't upset me. I don't know why, but this one is, well, I guess I do. This one has always bothered me.
All right.
People getting pistol whipped, being knocked unconscious, and waking up later functionally normal as if nothing happened.
Seriously.
And the first, to yeah. add on to that, the one hit, pistol whip, which nobody in human history has ever done or been able to do.
No.
Now, I would believe the throwing the gun or something like that mm-hmm. and just by chance knocking them out like you're not even trying to
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe that this has ever actually really happened.
We could probably get into a whole thing, and maybe there might be some more gun stuff in this, I don't know, a whole about guns and how they are in real life
yeah.
as compared to guns as they are in movies
right,
because
right.
they the very big difference there. But you know, the idea that you know exactly where to hit someone to knock them out unconscious, okay, guns are heavy. They're metal, man. Yeah. They're going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. we're talking split open blood. We're talking,
there's no getting around it.
No. So, but yeah, people wake up, but like, they don't have a gouge out of their skull, right?
A character moving 4 feet from the other character and having a full volume conversation that no one else could hear. This may be the biggest one that we're asked to suspend belief for.
Right. Yeah. They're not even leaning in. They're just kind of. Hey, the worst stage whisper ever. Yeah.
My favorite is not, and it's funny you bring up theater because mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit easier to suspend belief in theater. I don't know why, but I feel like it is.
That probably is, yeah.
In my head, I would think it would be the opposite, but it actually is that way. It mm-hmm. kind of seems to go that way, at least. With this, it's only more frustrating for me. It happens more in TV where the person will just turn. They just move to the other side and do this. And like, they can hear you, you know, they could, no.
And with you could get around that in movies and TV. You can do this thing called a close-up where you literally can just whisper in their ear.
Yes.
Right? But they don't use it enough, maybe. I don't know.
Waking up looking fresh and styled and mostly in a very good mood. I'm pretty sure, and I have done a little homework on this, mm-hmm. nobody in history has ever done that. Nobody has ever woken up. No, I'm sure it's happened a little. But.
So this is truly egregious in like old movies where you have women waking up, full makeup, their lips are ruby red, their hair is done perfectly, and they get out of bed like they've slept all night. First of all, how's there not like lipstick stains all over their pillow, first of all. But I mean, and they look just glamorous and gorgeous. And they're, come on. Even back then, they've got it. People were probably like,
yeah,
something wrong with this. This doesn't look right.
It's there's suspending belief, and then there's just kind of like, well, I can't wrap my brain around
a little
that.
Bit too far.
It
right?
is kind of funny to think of, but that is more unrealistic than some of the science fiction
Absolutely.
You've seen in your life.
Yeah, even when someone's supposed to get like be drunk, like hungover, they still look fine basically when they wake up. Like they have their shirt untucked a little bit. Yeah, you know, that's it, right?
And it's funny because they've quote unquote improved this, but it still hasn't really gotten to realistic.
Because and you know, to be fair, you know, to filmmakers, I mean, you have to compose shots in a certain way, and you can't. Sometimes you just can't do it the way maybe that looks the most realistic because that's what you got to work with, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Hackers saying, typing 300 words per minute, and then 5 seconds later saying, I'm in. Like, yeah. I love that in every scene, and it's so unrealistic.
Once again, to be fair to filmmakers, how do you dramatically do someone typing? It's so hard. I mean, I get it. It's totally unbelievable. Yeah. 300 words per minute. It's amazing.
I make this joke all the time, but I actually give like the CSI franchise a lot of credit for this of like, well, how do we make medical, you know, them using beakers and stuff and make this interesting? Techno. Just techno music. That's it. That's it. We're just going to throw techno music on it.
Yeah.
Like, we have no dialogue. Techno. That's what we'll do. They took the Michael Bay kind of form of movie making into TV and stuff.
We'll just do a little hand waving and we're good.
And
right?
It kind of works.
It does.
It kind of works a little bit. Yeah. This is maybe my favorite one. No one ever looking for parking. It's just there.
Oh, that is so not fair.
That's so not fair.
I want to see one movie. You know, one non-comedy movie. Okay. Because you can get some comedy out of not finding a parking spot. I can see that. Okay. But like a dramatic movie where think you could actually do this as a suspenseful thing, man. It's like, I got to get into the building by this time of clock. Oh, no, I can't find any parking.
I want to make a short film that is just about that. Just about
Dude,
looking for parking.
Oh, that would be a brilliant. Oh, that would be fun.
It might be something great. Nobody's ever done. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. And that it actually might be. We may have stumbled across the one movie idea that hasn't been done.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
The classic zoom in, enhance the image, isolate that section, enhance it more. Nobody's got that tech, man.
No, we don't.
We all have Zoom on our things, and that's about it.
That's all we got. I don't care who you are, man. You could be the government agency with unlimited funding, and you do not have the tech that good.
The technology really doesn't even exist. But it's awfully cool in a show.
It does look cool, and it adds to that. Again, a suspense thing, you know, like boom, boom, you know, the zoom in.
They tell you this without telling you this because every time this happens in a movie or a TV show. It's always that rogue group of people. It's always a rogue group.
Yes.
And they are able to do this because it doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And someone said brushing teeth without toothpaste. Yeah, I guess that does happen a lot in movies and TV shows because you do see people brush, but you don't see them often putting the toothpaste
on. No, and I can understand that because multiple takes, right? You know, it's like eating. It's like one of the things I always, and I don't know, this is something I would add to the list. Why do they always, I thought of this for a long time, like why do they always eat such small amounts?
Yeah.
Like they put like a little tiny bit of milk in the bottom of the glass. And that was always like, well, no one does that, right? And then I realized multiple takes.
Yeah.
They don't want to, fill up on milk where they have to do like 10 takes of them taking a sip, right?
It's something that we experience in radio, too. I find even if I can save 1 or 2 seconds, that adds up and gives us more time for segments and those sorts of things.
Right.
I have no doubt that that is part of the filmmaking, too. Even those 3 seconds it takes to put on toothpaste sounds silly, but you add that up with taking away three here, and you've got a couple extra minutes to play with. You can put in a new scene.
That's true.
I think there's a little
something
of that.
To have something with that, yeah.
To that, I think you have a little bit of this next one, ordering a meal, eating just one bite, and then chucking the whole thing in the garbage.
That's part of it too. Yeah, it's like, why is it? Why aren't they eating? Well, again, multiple takes. They don't want to fill up while they're trying to act, right? Yeah.
And finally, God, this is good. The general lack of tiredness. It's pretty good, actually. It's pretty good.
I love that. Yeah, I've been up 48 hours. I've been awake. But I got to push through. Dude, if you're up for 40, I mean, I've pulled all-nighters. I know the way I feel in the morning. Not good. Feeling like junk, you know?
How about just your everyday characters complaining about being tired like every single human being does on almost a daily basis?
Someone asks you, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm kind of tired, though, you know? Yeah, seriously, I want to see that in a movie where everyone says, like, oh, I'm tired. I've been working so hard.
It certainly wasn't the intention, but in doing this, Seth, I think we have come up with the most original movie idea of all time.
Maybe we have.
Where somebody looking for parking, they can't find it, so like, you know, I'm hungry. They go and order and eat a full meal and then go look for parking and can't find it.
The most boring movie ever, but we will make it.
We're going to make it.
We're going to make it.
It's already been picked up by Netflix. It's already...
Ouch. Oh, that was a burn. That was a burn.
You can ask Reddit for this entire list. We've got pretty much all of them in there, but there's some other interesting ones in there, I think, that you might find. And I want to hear from everybody else out there because I know that there's more meat on
the bone
with
this
one.
Next time you watch a movie, like take a mental note of like, wait a minute. People don't do that in real life. Come on.
I actually think The Matrix hit on one that used to bug me a lot with the whole reloading thing.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, and I can't speak to this other than just noticing and watching so much content of movies and TV shows and everything. I swear to you, since they did that, they made the comment about that in The Matrix, the original Matrix movie, and they, we don't have to reload and all that stuff. You see it more. It's more of a much more common thing. I will say long before that, the movie Heat, I thought did this to perfection.
Oh yeah,
actually, so much to the point, this came up recently with the passing of Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer was so good at reloading in that movie, they actually use it for like actual FBI training and stuff.
Seriously?
Yeah, you can look it up. It's a really cool thing to see. If you guys, Seth, I encourage you guys to look this up, because he was so humble and so embarrassed talking about it. Like, they actually asked his permission and Michael Mann's permission and stuff, and like, well, yeah, Michael Mann was all for it, and he reaches out to Val, and Val's like, get out of here.
Like,
he was really blown away by it. It's kind of cool.
That's really cool. How about that? Learn something new every day.
Thank you for joining us all for another great edition, and our guest, of course, for another great edition of Director's Playhouse.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Iran is now saying that the U.S. decided to destroy diplomacy when it attacked three nuclear sites this weekend. Tehran's permanent representative to the United Nations, Amir Sayed Iravani, addresses an emergency meeting at the Security Council moments ago.
The timing, nature, and the scale of Iran's proportionate response will be decided.
But he says he does not know when or how. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
The bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities by the United States marks a perilous turn in a region that is already reeling.
The bombers that pulled off the strikes are back home in Missouri. Our Ian Lee.